Hi, I'm Jayant Sriram and welcome to In Focus, the Hindu's analysis podcast. Thanks for joining us. We turn our attention to matters of economy and business in this episode, and specifically, we will be discussing the telecom sector. The economy as a whole is in a bit of a downward spiral, owing to the COVID-19 pandemic. But if you've been following the news over the past few months, you will have seen that the telecom sector has seen a lot of developments, specifically with a lot of investments coming in from global tech giants like Facebook and Google, and a whole bunch of other companies as well. At the center of all of it is Reliance Jio. And in this podcast today, we'll discuss those moves in detail, as well as the recent news that Jio is working on developing its own 5G network solution, the first by an Indian entity. Now, this is a development that has huge geopolitical implications in the current context, and so we'll discuss that in some detail. Simultaneously, we'll also use this opportunity to take an overall look at the health of the telecom sector, which continues to be one of the most promising engines for economic growth in India, bleak as things are around it. My guest today is Thomas K. Thomas. He's the Mumbai Bureau Chief of Hindu Business Line, who's also led the paper's coverage of telecom and IT for several years. Thomas K. Thomas, welcome to the Hindu's In Focus podcast. It's your first time that you're joining us for a conversation, so thank you so much for making time for us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure and glad to be here.
So, so we're talking about the telecom sector today, and it's interesting that, you know, over the past, going back 6-8 months, we've thought of this as being a sector that's under major stress. And that has had a lot to do with the troubles faced by Vodafone and Airtel with regard to their AGR payments, adjusted gross revenue payments. So, you know, the news just some time back was that these companies were even, you know, Vodafone in particular was facing a possible shutdown of its operations, that we might be left with only one player, that's Jio. But in the last 6 months, there have been some, you know, fairly big ticket deals in telecom. That's obviously headlined by Jio.
That's right.
Which we will talk about. But also, Airtel has raised 21,500 crore. BSNL has received 70,000 crore, you know, in the form of the relief package from the government. Vodafone PLC recently gave ₹1,530 crore to its Indian joint venture. So what does this mean for the sector? Does it mean that the financial stress is over and that investors are ready to sort of place their bets again?
Yeah, right. Jayant, you're spot on with your observation. But just to set the context, so as you said that, you know, India's telecom sector has been grappling with huge debts and also massive regulatory headwinds for the past few years. And in the last 6 months, it has received investments of over 2.3 lakh crore. And all the four operators remaining in the space have received some form of funding, which sort of indicates that investors continue to bet on the once poster boy of economic reforms. The biggest investment, as you rightly pointed out, is in the Reliance Jio. And that was that came from Mark Zuckerberg-backed Facebook, which took 9.9% stake in Jio platforms for about 43,000 crore. Overall, Jio has received investments of around 1.5 lakh crore from 14 different investors, including Google, Qualcomm, Intel. So all of this will obviously help Mukesh Ambani to bring down the debt in his telecom venture. And they plan to, they've already announced that they have become net zero debt by March 2021. Airtel, in January, it raised about 21,500 crore. And this was through a mix of, qualified institutional placement and foreign currency convertible bonds. Airtel at that time had termed this as the largest ever dual tranche equity and FCC offering in the Asia-Pacific region. So in this, about 15 global investors participated, including Warburg Pincus, Fidelity, BlackRock. Fresh funding for Airtel would take care of its immediate liabilities, including payouts related to the AGR issue, and also refinance some of its existing loans. So Airtel has also recently bought 4G equipment worth about $1 billion from Nokia, showing its intent to go aggressive on network rollout. The third player in this whole ecosystem is BSNL, which has received about 70,000 crore as a form of a relief package BSNL has also shed about 90,000 employees through a VRS scheme, and they are embarked on a 9,000 crore network expansion plan. But for BSNL, there are still some structural and administrative issues facing the public sector company, because, you know, if you look at the recent plans to roll out 4G network, this has been scuttled by the government as they have asked them to redo the whole tendering, saying that, you know, local companies should be brought in and Chinese should be kept out. So we have to see how that pans out. But this additional funding of 70,000 crore sort of gives it a sliver of hope to survive. The fourth player is Vodafone Idea. They have yet to receive any significant funding. Yes, they've got about 1,530 crore, but in the overall scheme of things, it's really nothing. And, you know, so this puts Vodafone Idea in a very precarious position, because, you know, it really requires about at least 50,000 crore immediately to sort of stay afloat. So what does all of this means for the sector? Is it out of the woods? I don't think so. You know, we have already had about 10 telecom companies which have shut operations in the last few years. So there's a debt overhang of about 4-5 lakh crores, AGR dues of 1.3 lakh crores. You know, so the future of BSNL Vodafone is still uncertain. Spectrum pricing continues to be really high, so that's going to be another issue. The crux of the whole thing is that the growth in data consumption that we are seeing have to really translate into higher revenues for the operators at some point. So investors can bring in money, but until and unless operators start making their own cash, it's not going to help. So just to give you an idea, currently operators make about, you know, 150 to 160 rupees a month from each user. This has right. to go up to about 250 rupees a month. That's, you know, for a player like Vodafone to start thinking about surviving. Yeah, but, you know, the key takeaway would be that, yes, this investment sort of drives home the point that India's telecom market still holds a lot of promise. The fact is more than 50% of the market is still not connected by data. So those who do not have access to, and those who have access to internet services are consuming data like never before.
Right.
So, you know, so all of this combines into a nice futuristic market opportunity out there. If operators are able to tide over the current financial stress with a little bit of help from the government in terms of lower pricing on spectrum, lower revenue share, so all of that could help in the long term. But of course, you know, Reliance is clearly, you know, with all the funding and, you know, the way it has positioned itself, is clearly positioned itself to leverage this big opportunity that lies ahead.
Right. I think that really sets out the overall context of the sector really well. And one thing to add here is that Prime Minister Modi was making some comments to the Indo-US Business Council
right.
yesterday, I think it was. And he did point out, one of the things he did point out was the fact that the telecom sector is booming. For the first time, he pointed out that the number of rural internet users has increased past the number of urban internet users. And that has much to do, of course, with the telecom sector expanding into these areas.
Right.
So, let's just move on to Jio. As you said, the company that seems to be in pole position to kind of leverage this growing market.
Right.
Now, the big ticket announcement made by Jio recently is that they are building their own 5G network solution. And
right.
this will be a first by an Indian entity.
That's
so
right.
Let's just get into that a little bit in detail.
Sure.
How big of a game changer is this?
Yeah, so this could be a big game changer. You know, just to give you an idea of what Mukesh Ambani is doing. You know, he plans to build his homegrown 5G network basically using open source telecom platform called Open RAN. So this network platform, you know, it's similar to how open source software became a big game changer in the 1990s. Essentially, you know, it they're trying to build telecom radio and base station using non-proprietary technology. So this will help them bring down costs drastically compared to buying, say, proprietary gear from the likes of Nokia and Ericsson currently. Just to give you an idea, you know, about 70% of the cost to build a telecom network currently comes from buying, you know, radio access network equipment, including like base stations, radio antenna, receivers. You know, so until now, this was based on proprietary software and hardware supplied by, you know, end-to-end solution providers like Nokia, Ericsson, and of course the Chinese player Huawei. So Open RAN is an attempt to break out of all of this, and, you know, so Jio wants to make core network equipment become vendor neutral, and it will disaggregate hardware and software functions built on general purpose processors. So this avoids, you know, vendor lock-in and minimizes payment of royalty. Globally too, you know, Japan's Rakuten and Vodafone itself is trying out this in its home market in UK. In India, Jio has been quietly working on this open source platform for at least 2 years now. They've had multiple teams on this project for at least 2 years. And, you know, in 2018, it acquired a Bangalore-based company called Raxis. And that is primarily target of that was to build this platform. So if this comes true, Jio need not depend on these handful of vendors and can actually roll out 5G networks at a fraction of the cost. You know, but there are hurdles. There could be challenges because, you know, open source network is not easy to build. You know, people are saying it will take at least 2 to 3 years for build a network like this and to make it a reality. But Jio has the financial power, and we know that, you know, it has done things which many people thought were improbable. So maybe it can pull out a rabbit on this one and actually roll out something based on this Open RAN maybe next year, by when hopefully India will also start auctioning, you know, 5G spectrum. So what does this mean, you know, at the end of the day? Is multiple things. One, you know, India's import bill on telecom network has been very high. We import close to about $20 billion worth of equipment every year. So if Jio is successful in doing this, you know, so what you're essentially saying is that as we move into more into 4G and as we move into more into 5G, we could see more Indian players coming into making telecom network equipment locally. You know, so our import bills, you know, could come down drastically. The other big impact could be on national security, you know, because, you know, we've heard about there have been allegations like how Huawei is planting bugs in imported equipment. And basically, this is allowing them to snoop into networks. So while there have been no concrete proofs, we know that US, UK have even banned companies like Huawei from supplying equipment. So if we are able to do this here, you know, with 5G, we can cut down on a lot of these concerns and worry and protect our national security. So yes, you know, if Jio is successful with this 5G solution, this could be a big change on multiple levels.
Right. So just to zoom out a little bit there for the benefit of our listeners, right. You mentioned Huawei, of course.
Yes.
Who, and up to this point, you know, kind of became synonymous with, in a way, with the setting up of 5G. I mean, seemed to be like the biggest player
right. Around.
I just wanted to get a sort of context in which, you know, we've had our recent troubles with China.
Yes.
Following which all these discussions, you know, take on a kind of geopolitical, strategic affairs context.
Right.
Even though they are business matters.
Yes.
In a sense. What was Huawei's position thus far in terms of setting up 5G in India, and how big of a global player are they in the 5G space?
Yeah. So Huawei is huge, and, you know, just to put it in context, Huawei came into the scene much later than, say, Ericsson and Nokia. I mean, Ericsson and Nokia have been there for many decades now. You know, earlier there was an entity called Alcatel, then there was Lucent. So a lot of these companies have folded up, and, you know, now you have Nokia, Ericsson, and Huawei, basically three ecosystem vendor that is in the space. So Huawei has made huge, huge strides into, you know, huge investments into R&D. They've been way ahead in 4G and 5G. Even in India, they've applied for trials on 5G. So, you know, so clearly, you know, if Huawei goes out of the system, out of the game, then, you know, you are basically taking out a big, large supplier of equipment out of the game. So what does this mean? So one thing is that, you know, for operators, Huawei was a big leverage, because whenever Huawei came onto the table, they would come with, you know, a host of bankers also, not just technology. Say they would say, if you buy equipment from me, I would also bring certain Chinese banks with me who can, you know, provide you soft loans. So for an operator, if I'm an operator like Airtel or Vodafone, this gave me a lot of leverage when I would negotiate on these, you know, telecom equipment with, say, Ericsson or Nokia. The other big thing is that if you look at existing network like BSNL or Vodafone, a significant part of their network is already on Chinese equipment. BSNL, because it goes with cheapest, because they have a tendering process, they go with the vendor which gives them the cheapest. So most of the equipment on BSNL is already Huawei, right? So these are the things that India will have to look at, you know, going forward on developing their strategy on how to deal with this, with Huawei. And ZTE is another player. ZTE is a Chinese player, but they're not as big as Huawei. Banning applications was easy because out of the 59 which was banned, you know, most of them were hardly used other than maybe TikTok and a few others. So right. Banning that was easy. Taking a call on Huawei would be more challenging, you know, on multiple reasons. So we'll have to see how that pans out going forward. It's not going to be an easy call for India to take. But yes, if India is able to come up with these homegrown solutions like Jio is doing on 5G, we are also hearing, you know, players like Tech Mahindra and, you know, a whole host of Indian vendors like Tejas Networks, you know, trying to build 4G solutions. So they are all now gearing up for BSNL tender. So let's see how that tendering goes. Because if BSNL is told not to buy from China and is told to reserve a portion of its equipment for Indian vendors, and if Tech Mahindra and others are able to, you know, come on board and with good quality solution, maybe we'll have a solution there. So even if Huawei is taken out of the game, by then we will have others in to plug that gap.
Right. So the other aspect of, yes, as you mentioned, we did ban 59 Chinese apps. Other countries like the UK and US have also, you know, started banning Chinese telecom equipment makers like Huawei.
Right.
And there is, you know, when this call for similar action in India also has to take in the fact that we have this huge Chinese smartphone market.
Right.
As people have pointed out, you know, when a lot of TV channels went rather loudly with the, you know, ban China rhetoric.
Right.
There were at the same time ads playing from, you know, Xiaomi smartphones, etc., you know, on the side.
Right.
So that is a kind of interesting contrast.
Yes.
Where are we with this? Because, you know, cheap Chinese smartphones are also sort of central, I think, to this idea of everybody getting access to the internet. So
yes.
Where are we in terms of how reliant we are on the Chinese smartphone market?
Yeah, so Chinese smartphone, you know, if you look at the overall market share of Chinese smartphone players, including, and if you look at the across this you know, market, Chinese brands clearly have taken this market. You know, almost 60% of the market is controlled by Chinese brands, Xiaomi, then you know, OnePlus, Vivo,
yeah.
Oppo. You know, so they are there. I mean, at one point in time, we thought, you know, some of these Indian brands like Micromax and Lava, you know, they were showing a lot of promise about, say, 7-8 years back. But, you know, they missed a trick or two on the 4G side. So, you know, they didn't see that technology wave coming in and sort of kept on betting on 3G. So by the time 4G came in quickly, they lost the market there. So the phone market is very dynamic. If you miss a trick and if you are not there, you will lose out completely. So Indian smartphone guys missed a trick there. They lost out to the Chinese. Currently, it's basically the Chinese brands and Samsung who's sort of controlling the market. Indian brands are very there in the very low part of the segment. You know, but if you are talking about, you know, things like cybersecurity, security of the gadgets, you know, that's a concern. That's a going concern. You know, if apps can do it, if networks can do it, phones can also do it. So it's a worry. You know, across the digital space. I mean, why Chinese? Even there's a worry about Facebook. There's a worry about how Google uses its data. So, you know, the moment you're talking about various elements in the data, from network to phones to, you know, software, the issue of how much of data privacy and how much of data consumption of users are being compromised is a question mark. And, you know, a lot of what is happening in China is also political positioning because, you know, of our border issue. So, you know, how do we flex muscle and show that, you know, we can also do something to hit back? So, right. So these are the ways. So if I remember this talk about banning Huawei and ZTE have been there for at least 15 years. I mean, 2003, 2004, DoT came very close to banning them, but they didn't. You know, so instead of that, they said they brought in a policy which made it mandatory for telecom operators to do security checks or security certification every time they imported telecom equipment. Right. So this has been going on. The fire is lit every time there is a crisis, and so that's what we are seeing right now. More of that. Whether, you know, India actually bans Huawei, ZTE, bans some of these phone makers, I'm not too sure if that will really happen.
Right. So, of course, this gives us a chance to circle back to Jio, who announced also recently in their recent AGM that's very closely watched, that they announced that they're going to get into making affordable smartphones with Google. And another point to bring up here is that we did speak of the investments coming into the telecom sector over the past few months.
Right.
And it's quite notable that both Google and Facebook, who you know largely chase the same kind of digital advertising revenue, and also Qualcomm and Intel, also competitors there, have for the first time invested in the same entity, and that's Jio. So, you know, why is this? I mean, of course, they see potential, but let's just kind of elaborate on that.
Yeah, so let me just take the smartphone collaboration with Jio first, between Jio and Google first. So I think, you know, this partnership will open up an entirely new market segment. You know, so if you remember, if you go back about 3 to 4 years back, Jio had launched a 4G feature phone. That had become a huge success as it allowed to, you know, capture a lot of consumers who were, you know, unable to access 4G services because they didn't have a smartphone. Until then, you needed a smartphone to access 4G services. So they came in with this feature phone, which allowed users to do 4G on it. They acquired, quickly ramped up, and, you know, they acquired almost 36% market share in the feature phone segment. You know, all through 2018-19, they were dominating that space. But the problem there, you know, with feature phones, you can do only so much. If you want to actually experience full 4G services, you need a smartphone. You know, if you want to do things like streaming videos, if you want to do video calls, you need a smartphone experience. And the problem is, in India, about 60% of the mobile user base are continuing to use 2G networks. And the biggest hurdle coming in the way for them to migrate from 2G to 4G is because they find 4G smartphone unaffordable. You know, they don't have that 4,000, 5,000 rupees to spend to buy a 4G smartphone to experience a full-fledged 4G services. Currently, there are no Chinese or Indian phone makers who are catering to that segment. So this is the target. This is the market segment that, you know, Jio and Google are thinking about. And both know, you know, if you want to get into that 60% of the market out there, which is still on 2G, they need to bring down the cost of owning a smartphone. So that's the problem that they're addressing. And, you know, Google has tried to do something like that earlier with what they called as Android One. They had limited success because of huge issues on distribution channel. But I think, you know, coming together of Jio and Google should be able to see an affordable smartphone market soon. Coming to your other part, where you were talking about, about Facebook and, you know, Google and Intel and Qualcomm, you know, traditionally we know them to be rivals, and, you know, they've never ever invested in a single entity. So this is the first time they're actually, you know, Google and Facebook are investing in a single entity. They have all come together on Jio platform. So this is really interesting, because, you know, obviously they see this huge market potential, which we talked about earlier. Both Facebook, Google have been seeing India as a big market, and they've been trying on their own to reach out to the next billion people in the country, market share. And you know, India's market, internet market, is sort of, you know, almost set to explode big time, you know. So we've got 500 million users already who are consuming 4GB data on an average every month. So this is projected to grow to about 11GB per month in the next 4 years.
Right.
And so India is clearly one of the biggest markets for any global digital company. And these big tech companies see Jio at the center of it. Google currently has about 94% market share as far as Android mobile operating system is concerned. Google Pay has clocked about 300 million transactions in India, as of June 2019. On the other hand, India constitutes Facebook's largest market, with more than 270 million total users and 400 million monthly average users on WhatsApp. So this is, you have to give it to Ambani, where he's built partnerships in a way that each investor brings something unique to the Jio ecosystem. For example, as we talked about, the Google partnerships is aimed at building affordable devices. They will probably tap into developing an ecosystem on Android and the larger software play. Whereas with Facebook, it's more about, you know, connecting with small businesses, building consumer community on social media, and probably using WhatsApp to reach, you know, small businesses. So I think, you know, each of these piece is part of a larger puzzle which Jio is putting together. And Jio clearly wants to provide Indian consumers access to everything from groceries to clothes to banking to home automation to healthcare to education. So they want to put together a platform, you know, do what big tech companies like Google and Facebook have been doing elsewhere.
Right. So I think a good place to end is, you know, circling back to a point that we'd made sort of very initially in this conversation.
Right.
But I think it's worth reiterating. Because, you know, data usage is at the center of all of this.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, just in your last answer, these are quite incredible figures. We have 500 million users.
Yes.
Each of them are using about 4 GB a month.
Yes.
And that's projected to only go up. So this is an incredible amount of data usage.
Yes.
But, you know, data usage is skyrocketing. But does this, I mean, how does this actually translate to better revenues for telecom companies? Because, you know, one of the central things that was part of this whole AGR, it wasn't directly related, but one of the things was that we charge the cheapest rates for data, and that
right.
wasn't really leading to a sustainable business model for these companies. So,
that's right.
You know, how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, so the way I see it is that, you know, as I said, you know, so India had about 10, 12 player operators at that some point in time. Most of them are folded up, you know, so the level of competition has come down drastically, right? When Jio, when it came in 2016, it had to gain market share. So it went free. It went, you know, with really cheap data rates. It has achieved what it had to achieve in terms of capturing that market share, right? It's already on top of the pie, both in terms of number of subscribers and in terms of revenue. So Jio has achieved what it has to achieve. Let's look at Airtel, Vodafone, and BSNL. None of these companies have the bandwidth anymore to drop tariff. Jio has achieved what it has to achieve. So what I see is that I don't think from here on there is going to be any reduction in tariffs.
Right.
What we are going to see from here on is going to be increase in tariff, if at all. As I said, you know, if operators other than Jio need to survive, they need to hit an average revenue per user of about 250 rupees a month. Right. So how do you get there? That can only happen if you start increasing tariffs. So for consumers, I think, you know, I think we'll have to start paying a little bit more than what we are used to. But at the same time, I think it's worthwhile because, you know, at the end of the day, if as a consumer, I am demanding top quality of service, I want a network which doesn't drop my calls. I want uninterrupted data services, right? I need to enable or strengthen my operator to be able to invest into all of these networks, right? So we talked about all these opportunities, but that opportunity also means that operators need the money to invest. Where is that coming from, right? So this has to,
right.
So there has to be, the tariffs will have to go up. And as I said earlier, there has to be some help from the government in terms of reduction in spectrum pricing, lower of license fee. You know, so just to put it in context, 30% of operators' revenues today are going in some form of levy to the government, right? I see this as huge. When you are auctioning spectrum, when you're collecting money upfront for that spectrum, there is no reason for you to collect an annual revenue share from the operators, right? So all of this needs to be thought about. You know, 8% revenue share on license fee is too much. Bring it down to 1%. So all of this will bring, I think, will come together. As we see, we're already seeing some talk about, you know, spectrum pricing being rationalized. DOT has already set up a committee to look at some of these cost structures. Tariffs will go up a little bit. So I think all of this means that if operators are able to ride out this 6 months to a year, I think they will be on a very good turf going. I also want to just, you know, highlight one more point, which is
very
critical in this whole thing. And this is about data privacy and, you know, we talk about data usage and, you know, all of that. But at the center of it, from the consumer point of view, is data privacy and data protection. And this is another thing which policymakers need to address quickly, because we are seeing huge consumption. We are seeing huge platforms coming in. We are seeing Jio, Facebook, you know, Google coming together like never before. But we still don't know things like who owns data, what happens to my data, who uses it for what. You know, we only get to know of these things once we know of a breach, like Facebook reported a data breach, WhatsApp reported their data breach. When they report, we get to know. Otherwise, we don't know, right? So
right.
I think this is going to be huge. And, you know, I think we need to address this very quickly as part of the larger.
That was an excellent roundup of the sector and what lies ahead. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us today and for giving us your expertise and your perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jeff.